It's my great pleasure this morning to introduce Al to speak to us. He needs no introduction to all of us that are watching this morning. You all know Al well. And I would just pray for him before he speaks. Now, Father God, thank you for Al. Thank you that he is a great father and he is a great father to this church. And he stands in that position and he has for many years. And we thank you and we're so grateful, Lord, that you've placed Al in our midst with his amazing ministry and gifts. And we pray as you, as he speaks to us this morning, that you would open our ears, you'd open our hearts, you'd open our minds and our souls to take in your word. And we want to be changing people, Lord. We want to be people who are constantly changing, whose lives are not static and stuck, but whose lives are growing. And we pray this morning that you would use Al to help us in that process. Amen.
Amen.
Al, welcome.
Thank you. Right, I think I'm on the main screen now, aren't I? So here we go. Wow, wasn't that a fantastic set of worship? Just incredible, Tina. We just thank you so much for what you bring to our community. You are just amazing. And, you know, in the Passion Version, this verse says this: what bliss you experience when your heart is pure. Then your eyes will be open and you will see more of God. Isn't that a fantastic translation of that verse from the Passion? I'll read it again. What bliss you experience when your heart is pure. When your eyes be open and you will see more of God. And Tina, I want to thank you, along with so many other great worship leaders in our community, that so many times you've taken us to bliss. Thank you. So many times you've taken us to that place where you've helped our hearts be pure. Because worship is one of those places where our hearts are just pure. And we know that our hearts aren't pure sometimes, don't we? Come on. Yeah? We're not perfect. But you know, the times that God really enjoys it is when our hearts are pure. And that's what he really, really focuses on. And you know, the Aramaic word for this actually means great happiness, prosperity, abundance, goodness, delight. It's just like a holistic thing of joy, of bliss. And this verse says, when your heart is pure, you get bliss. And you see God. And I was just thinking about the times when I've experienced bliss. I've just had a text from my daughter saying, Happy Father's Day. And, you know, some of my bliss moments are around my kids. They just are. And I was just thinking about back in December, which seemed such a different world, with the privilege of being on safari together in the Kruger. And we're in this truck and we're going along this road and we're driving like maniacs because they've told us there's a spotting, there's an animal in this road and we must go and see the animal. And we get there and as the light is fading, out of the bush comes a leopard. Absolutely extraordinary. This leopard comes in front of our truck. And then it turns its head towards us, looks his face on as to say, look, guys, I'm here. The show is on. And then he walks away from the truck into the bush. It's bliss. It's bliss. I remember the first time I took Lewis to Old Trafford to watch Man United. And he had his shirt on, he had his scarf on. And he was walking by the stadium. And he turned to me and he said, Dad, this is the best day of my life. At which point, U2 was playing It's a Beautiful Day. And I thought, I'm never, ever going to forget this moment. It was bliss. It was perfect. Nothing could have been better. That's what bliss is like. And that is what we are promised when our hearts are pure. Isn't that an incredible promise? But you see, when Jesus was doing this, he just wasn't just promising something. He wasn't just encouraging us into something. I believe it was like this, you see. I think, and you've probably seen lots of films of the Sermon on the Mount, yeah? And you see Jesus standing on a high place and the crowd are below him and he's there on the rock and, you know, he's doing his stuff and the crowd are there. Well, I'd like to give you a different film. Here's the film. Jesus is standing there, but what he's actually doing is he's pointing out people and he's going, when you're pure in heart, you'll see God. When you're pure in heart, you'll see God. And he's actually prophesying into people's lives. He's actually saying, you're going to see God. You're going to see this thing. You're going to see my kingdom. You're going to see who I am. You're going to understand who I am. And that's going to bring bliss to you and to your community. Something of God is going to come. Because like you just put a child, shoved the child in front of them and then said, you know, the kingdom of God is like this child. Jesus was doing that all the time. He was always continually drawing on those, on the narrative around him. And taking that narrative, that environment, and contextualizing it in terms of his message. So that's what bliss is really about. But then another even more amazing thing is this, I believe. I believe we can actually see... Oh, that's my phone going off. Great. Siri, it's great. Fantastic. Did you hear that? I didn't catch that. Siri's my phone saying. Brilliant. I believe it was actually even more incredible than that, actually. So I think that actually, when we look at Acts, and we look at Acts 2, 43 to 47, we begin to actually see the church walking in bliss. We actually see a fulfillment of that prophetic word. And Sandra's now dealt with my phone. She's going to now read us this from the Passion. And then I'm going to draw some stuff out.
That's got to be a first, Siri speaking to us on Sunday morning. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute their proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life.
That's a community in bliss. That's a community that's standing in the awe of God. That's a community that is so tangibly feeling the presence of God through prayer, through fellowship, through love, that generosity explodes. That they give away their possessions and they feed the poor. That they see signs and wonders and miracles. They become totally and utterly magnetic. That's bliss. And it's happened before. And it won't happen this way in the same way because we run a creative God. Our awakening will not be the same as the last awakening, but it will be an awakening. And I think that's what God wants to do in this season. I think God, through us, as we seek him in our hearts, wants to bring bliss to our communities, to those in incredible pain and suffering at the moment. I've never known a season like this. In all my years of running a business, I've never known it so tough. I know many of you in the organizations you're in, shed loads of people who are being made redundant. And what will happen when this furlough is over? Who knows? We're seeing such deep pain. We're seeing such deep suffering. The poor are getting poorer. Yet, in all of that, for those who are pure in heart, their eyes will be open and they will see God. It's an extraordinary promise. And it gives us an extraordinary understanding of what it is to be in bliss. It's around being community. It's around friendship. It's around giving. It's around experiencing the power of God. It's around just feeling him so deeply in the core of who you are. That's what these verses are really about. They were mutually linked together. And these, for me, are some of the most challenging verses in Scripture. Someone just said to me earlier, I hope you're not preaching all that. That's a really hard Scripture to preach on. And it's so true. Because let's be honest, giving away possessions is difficult, isn't it? Doing these things is difficult. It's challenging. It's probably one of the most challenging pictures of church we have in Scripture. Yet, what feeds it is this awe of God, is prayer, is worship. It's just making ourselves contrite before the Lord and getting in that space. And that's what Pure in Heart's about. That's what a Pure in Heart community looks like. That's what it looks like. That's what it is. So we have a fantastic template for us to now take into our society at this time. An amazing template to take in and to be and to live out and to do. And the fantastic thing that I've been finding is this. What this verse really is about seeing in a different way. It's about a new mindset. It's about a new way of seeing. And it's about seeing with faith and seeing with the prophetic and beginning to understand at an even deeper level that in the pain and the stabbings of Reading, we can be a difference. In a world that's hurting, we can be a difference. And God doesn't just work through this thing called church. He works through his people who are the church, wherever they are. And he wants to use whatever gifts you've been given, he wants you to use them in this season. And those gifts aren't just the fivefold gifts that we know so well or the listing, you know, Galatians of the fruits of the Spirit. It is all of that. But it's much more than that. It's about us being us. And as we are us, as we are who we are in God, people get drawn to it and something happens. So some of you know that I work partly in a community called Abakin. And Abakin is part of McKinsey Consulting, and McKinsey Consulting is the largest management consulting in the world. It's got 90,000 members on it. We had a town hall on Friday, and 900 people came to it. Just a one check-in, basically. So it's at a huge scale. It works across the whole world. There's not a country it doesn't work in or touch. And Abakin, this community, is aimed at trying to bring heart into transformational change in organizations, to bring love, to bring care. And particularly its thought is around raising consciousness within our world. And part of this community is the most wonderful band of Abakin prayer warriors who are Christians like me, who just continually pray into our work and pray for the Holy Spirit to move through what we're doing. And pray that whenever we facilitate, we'll be going to a business and we work there, that the Holy Spirit will come with us and we will partner with him in the work that he has called us to do within these various corporations and companies. So last year, I felt God speak to me and say, you need to make a film, which some of you will know is something I've been thinking about from my early teens. And I put a proposition to the CEO of Abakin that we should make a film about Abakin and about Abakin's work. And he said to me, well, you better give me a storyboard and then I'll agree your budget. But until I see the storyboard, I'm really not sure you can do this, but have a go at it. So a friend of mine called Lindsay and I, we wrote a storyboard together. And we presented the storyboard. And they said, lovely storyboard. Yep. We're going to give you a go ahead, but we have one requirement that's absolutely core to the brief of this film. It's got to be around rivers, Do you know anything about rivers? How are you good at you explaining about rivers? Are rivers part of your life? Unbelievable. And so I pulled together a team, and Pete Nelson is the editor of this film. He made most of it. I did virtually nothing other than selling the idea. Matt is the voiceover on this film. The bit I did was at the end, they came to me and they said, we want an ending for this film. And I won't give it away, but when you look at the film, see the ending, it's just going to blow you away. So I want you to remember the context when we made this film. We made it in October, before COVID and before Black Lives Matters. And now I'd like Tim just to play the film. Because what I'm doing here, or we are doing here, or Matt, Pete and I are doing here, is taking the gifts we have been given and using them for Jesus.
Abakan was born out of a singular vision. A vision to help consciousness and humanity gain recognition and acceptance in business. With the support of McKinsey, this vision...
So I speak prophetically now. Wherever the river flows, there will be life. Wherever you go. Wherever you touch. Wherever you bring gratitude. Wherever you bring generosity. Wherever you bring kindness, wherever you bring forgiveness, there will be life. That's our mandate. That's what we're here to do. My friend Alison gave me a great, great verse yesterday. Let your conversations be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everybody. That is what we are called to be in this season. That is how we live pure in heart. This is an awakening. So many people are being spiritually awakened. The question is, what will they be awakened to? I want to honour those Abakan prayer warriors, my friends that pray with me in the system that I'm in. And I've learned so much from them. I've learned so much from so many of you in this community about how to live with a pure heart. So many of you live with such pure hearts. Don't believe the lie that you don't. Your heart is a lot purer than you realise. God is far more interested in your purity than your sin. He cherishes your purity greatly. And every time you make a decision to love, to reach out, to care, every time you contract with the Holy Spirit to be brave, to speak out, to touch a life or to do something, every time you do that, something inside you gets stirred called bliss. Something at the core of you gets stirred, which is the love of God. Kathy, I want to speak to you about your work and say in your place of work, the Holy Spirit wants to explode. He wants to explode. He wants to bring kindness and graciousness into your work and into the community through you. He wants to bring bliss. I want to speak to you who are on the front line, to John Gladwell, to trees, to all those others that we treasure so much in this day. And one of the great things in this day has been our recognition of those people has rightfully been risen. And we want to thank you for your great acts of kindness and service. And we want to play bliss on you. Yeah. We want to pray that you will feel and know the presence of God in a new way, in a way you've never, ever known before. For blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So just close your eyes now, wherever you are. And just recall a time in your life when you felt bliss. Just recall a time in your life when you knew the approval of God. You just knew he believed in you. And hold that in your heart right now. And treasure it. And enjoy it. And feast on it. That's bliss. So let's go and be the agents of love. Let's be the agents of forgiveness. Let's be the agents of generosity and the agents of gratitude. Because I believe those are the four things we really, really need to be in this season. Thank you.